We'll begin our exploration of the book of Acts through the telling of Jesus' ascension in chapter 1 and start in verse 6. So when they had come together, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I can remember when our son was born, our firstborn. It was a bit hectic. We had a little bit of a complicated birth. We had planned to be delivered by midwives, and we were in the hospital, and all kinds of things were going on. So all these buzzers, all these alerts. He was turned around. Things were a little hectic. We had doctors, we had nurses, we had aides coming in pretty much constantly. There were beepers going off. It was a very intense process. Despite our plan, we had to have them delivered by means of cesarean section. And so we had to go into the operating room and, again, totally surrounded by doctors and aides and all the rest. And finally, he was born. And then they handed him to us, rolled us out into a little closet almost, and left. And Sarah and I sort of just looked at each other, and we were like, "Is this allowed? I mean, are we qualified to do this thing?" And they were just gone. I wonder if that's not how the disciples felt in this moment, this great transition, where Jesus has been with them in body, following them, following him for years, all around the areas nearby Jerusalem. And they had followed, they had seen him preach, they'd heard life-changing messages, they had seen him heal. And then Jesus himself became the embodied miracle. He died and was raised from the dead. And then he continued to be with them for a period of weeks. They were together. And now, Jesus ascends into heaven, leaving these disciples to themselves. You can almost feel like, are we really able to do this? What are we supposed to do next? What happens now that Jesus has gone into heaven? It's interesting, as the book of Acts tells it, the very last thing that the disciples do with Jesus before he ascends is they ask him a question. They ask really for information. "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" They ask Jesus for information. It's interesting how it works being informed. Imagine that someone walks up to Carrie Johnson and says, "Carrie, I want to join the choir. Could I have the notebook?" And they take that notebook and they go home and they study it. Pour through every single piece that's going to be sung for the next 6 months. Carrie's more prepared than that, but he gives them 6 months. And they memorize every word. They memorize every note. And they walk up to Carrie and they say, "Carrie, I've had so much fun learning all this music. Thanks for letting me be in the choir. It's been great." And Carrie says, "Well, aren't you going to sing?" And they say, "Oh, no, I just wanted the knowledge." Would Carrie really say that they're a member of the choir? And more importantly, would the members of the choir say they were a member of the choir? Probably not. It doesn't become being a member of the choir until you start to sing. It's interesting that the disciples want knowledge from Jesus about what he is going to do. Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? But the name of the book is not The Impressive Knowledge of the Disciples. This book we call The Acts, The Actions of the Apostles. And that word is chosen very intentionally. We often use that word apostle and disciple interchangeably, but apostle has a little bit of a nuance. It comes, the derivative is from being sent. Being sent. The ones who are being sent on a mission to act. The disciples very much want to know what's about to happen. They want to know what's on the page, but Jesus gives them a challenge. He wants them to sing. He wants them to act. He gives them a challenge. Now, it's impressive that Jesus does something like that because the truth is that Jesus is something of a hero, and often we're used to looking at a hero do all the work and watch. But Jesus doesn't take all of the action for himself. Of course, that's kind of what people expected. It's part of what got Jesus into trouble as he was being proclaimed the Messiah, is people thought, okay, he's going to become the king. He's going to do all the work and save us. And Jesus had a little bit of a different plan than those expectations. We still love a good hero. If you doubt me, then I encourage you to go to the movie theater later this afternoon. And you might want to go watch that film where there is a 62-year-old actor playing Ethan Hunt. A great number of people will watch the 8th film in that franchise series because they love to watch someone, 62-year-old, do their own stunts. And the plot, the action, it's so engrossing. We love watching a hero. But what would it be like if after watching that movie, you went back to your car, and when you turned in your car, suddenly some music began? And on your dashboard appears a face who says, "This message will self-destruct." The truth is that's kind of what Jesus is doing to the disciples and by proxy to us in this moment. The answer to the question is this the time where you will restore the kingdom to Israel? The answer is, I'm not going to tell you about that, but I am going to tell you to go and to be my witnesses. Jesus responds to their request for information by giving them a challenge, by giving them marching orders. You will be my witnesses. And it's, the disciples like can't really help themselves. They still are watching Jesus as he ascends into heaven. They sort of stand there, kind of almost gawking. And it takes a couple angels, kind of like folks that work at the movie theater that are trying to clean up, you know, and somebody stays till the closing credits. Y'all, the movie's over. We got to clean. The angels come to the disciples like that. What are you doing standing here? Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up towards heaven? Jesus is heroic. But rather than expecting us to just stand and gawk at his heroism, he invites us into the action. He calls us to join in the adventure. Now, the truth is that we are a people who love adventure, but we like to have our adventure curated. We like to check and make sure safety is working. Very few people that I know who have survived like to go to the edge of a bridge and see someone doing bungee jumping and say, "Can I just jump on without vetting it first?" Very few people do I know who will get onto an airplane without making sure the company that is doing parachuting and skydiving really knows what they're doing before they go. We like to know and vet and have our adventure be quite safe. Thank you. I wonder how it'd be, though, if we went to an amusement park where lots of adventure abounds, and the amusement park decided that they were going to mix things up and let you wait in lines but not tell you what the ride was going to be. Wouldn't that be fun? Can you imagine waiting like with your 3-year-old and you get to the end of the line and that very mature 15-year-old asks you before you can get on, "Did you sign the waiver before you get on Death Wish roller coaster?" We wouldn't like that necessarily. We like to know what's about to happen. But Jesus tells the disciples that what they think they're about to get into, they have no idea. They start with a presumption. They presume that the whole ride that they're waiting for is restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus tells them it's a whole different ride. Their job is to be his witnesses. And the way he lays it out is so classic Jesus. He's like, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They're like, oh, okay, we can handle that. And Judea. All right, yeah, we've been there. That's great. And Samaria. And it's like, whoa, 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 Samaria? Isn't that where the Samaritans are? Hold on, Jesus, time out. And before they can get their hand to make the tea, Jesus says, oh, yeah, and all to the ends of the earth. You got to go everywhere to be my witnesses. There is no safety net. There's nowhere that's not on the radar of our calling to go and to be his witnesses. This adventure is not curated. Now, I think Ascension Sunday is one of the most understated holidays. It's got just incredible potential. I mean, seriously, why have we not done the thing where Pastor Martha gets up to pray, and when she has you close your eyes, and she says, the Lord be with you, also with you, and she starts to pray, why doesn't Carrie come slip a hook behind her? And we could have her ascend up and be above you. And Martha's such a pro, she wouldn't stop praying. She'd just keep on going. We have not fully realized our potential at this holiday, but I think the reality is that potential pales in comparison to the potential that Jesus sees in us. This is an occasion where we realize that Jesus has looked out at us, the church, and says, you know, I want you to do this. Even as I depart, I want you to be my witnesses. I don't want you to just learn about the faith. I don't want you to just watch the hero. I don't even want you to know the full plan. But go. Be my witnesses. Jesus, like a good midwife, has gone through a hard labor and delivery and has given us a calling. As we receive that calling, we find a whole new life. May we be bold to live into that calling. Amen.